Ladies, welcome to day 14 and happy love day. Happy Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, whatever day you want to call it that is meaningful for you. We just want to celebrate, first and foremost, the love of God, the love that was shed abroad in our hearts as we opened our heart to God. And the only reason why we can love is because He first loved us. So we are gathered here today to once again really delve into what is it that we need to do, or what are some of the elements that God might want to be speaking to, God might want to speak to us to help us to become the fearless woman of faith that He's designed you to be. It's about becoming. Sometimes we look ahead and we say, well, God, this is a vision you've given me. I don't know how to get there. I want you to focus on becoming the person that He wants you to be in order to fulfill that dream. Because as you lean into what He wants you to do, He will bring about those other steps. So today is another day about helping you to come up higher to the place where God would have you to step into your calling in a whole new way, with boldness, with clarity, and with faith. Is it okay if we don't understand everything about the road ahead? Is that okay? Let me know in the comments if that's okay. If you're okay with not seeing everything that's ahead and you're willing to trust God, then I want you to put yes, I trust God in the comments. So also, I want you to put in the comments any ahas that come up for you as you listen today, because I'm going to introduce you to my guest, who I know you are going to be blessed by, inspired by, and you're going to want to share this with other people. So my guest today is someone who I met through another organization that we're both involved with, a Christian organization. And Linda Moore is a very, very beautiful woman of God that I'm just so inspired by. And since accepting Christ as her Lord and Savior in 2000, at the age of 52, God's message to Linda has never changed. He said, speak up and write, be kind and gentle, and let me handle everything. That's a beautiful, beautiful instruction. During February 2020, her first ebook on Amazon went number one bestseller in three categories. That is amazing. She then wrote an accompanying journal, helping people to write their story and launch their legacy of faith. Her third book is coming out in early spring of 2023, and it's being published by Redemption Press. This book recounts her journey of hope, healing, and redemption through poetry and prose. Welcome, Linda.
So good to see you today.
Yes, you too. You know, when I was reading about the poetry, it reminded me of my mom, because my mom, who's now with the Lord, loved poetry, and she wrote poetry. And later in life, you know, she didn't have the opportunities earlier on, raising seven kids, and where we lived at the time. But later on, she went on and published her own poetry book when she was in her late 50s, 60s.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And I have that as a treasure.
Oh, that would be a treasure.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Linda, this is a beautiful day. And I know you chose this day specifically for what we're going to be talking about today, when love shows up. You know, what happens when we encounter love? And so I'd love it, Linda, if you would share a little bit about, you know, just a bit of that journey, how you came to do what you're doing today.
I would love to share. Thank you very much. Oh my goodness, what a thrill. What an honor to be able to use my voice and to speak up and to obey God. He is wanting me to speak up, and I am learning. I've been in Toastmasters for almost 10 years to learn to speak up. Mm-hmm. And it's an honor to use what God has given me, which is brand new. I never saw this coming. When I was growing up, let's talk about fear. when I was growing up, I was terrified of my mother. I was terrified of anybody getting to know me. I lived a very quiet, shy, diminutive life. I was terrified that anybody would know that I was having premarital sex in high school. I lived such a secret life. I never told anybody anything. I never had a conversation with anybody, you know, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I was terrified then, when I found myself pregnant at 18, that anybody would find out. I never told anybody. Again, at 21, when I found myself pregnant again, I never told anybody. I lived so quietly. Hmm. I never wanted anyone to look at me. I wanted to be in the back. I kind of lived in the shadows.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
For a long time. But you'd never know it. I was seemingly happy. I was doing well at work. I owned my own home. I had a beautiful daughter. I had a wonderful car. I had designer jewelry, designer clothing, designer furniture. You know, as the world saw it, I had it all. I had it all. But they didn't know all the secrets that were lurking right underneath the surface. And I, in fact, wouldn't look at it either. Mm. I denied for 34 years that I had had two abortions. I couldn't even face the truth myself. I couldn't look at myself. I couldn't see myself.
Wow.
I didn't allow that.
And how did that show up in your life, the trying to contain these secrets?
Like, good question.
Were you aware of, or maybe looking back, you can see, you know, what that did to you as a person or life? What were the ways it showed up?
Yeah, I was angry. And you know, anger begets anger, and trauma begets trauma, and terror begets terror. And I see it now. I can see it clearly now, where all that anger I had, for whatever reason, just went out into the world. I took my broken heart and my anger out into the world and created two divorces, financial insecurity, I was raped twice. And I didn't put it all together until after I met Christ. I didn't see it. I could not see it. And you know, it's so invisible, and the enemy works so invisibly.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was fearful.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was terrified. It's just the way I was raised. It was just part of me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, when I accepted Christ then, on the day I accepted Christ, I could clearly see God and I could clearly see the enemy.
Wow.
And that's when I got, oh my gosh, look at who I've been being.
Wow.
And I saw myself. Well, I'll tell you the story. So that February 2nd, 2000, when I accepted Christ, the very first words I heard were, "Your hope is misplaced. You need to hope in me."
Hmm.
Wonderful. Hope.
Yeah.
Hope is the anchor, right? Because I had been hoping maybe my mom would do this, or maybe my husband would do this, or maybe somebody wouldn't do this, or maybe somebody would do this. And then 2 days later, in the same kitchen where I had accepted Christ, God showed up in my kitchen. Now, I didn't see him, but he was there. And I'm not sure how I got on the floor, but I was in a fetal position, curled up in a ball on the floor. And he was standing over me. And he was everything, and I was nothing. And he was God, and I was sinner. And he was judge, and I was guilty. And he was big, and I was small. And he had me watch the movie of my life. And I got to see exactly who I had been being.
Wow.
And I didn't like that woman. I didn't like her. And I was mortified, actually. I was aghast. And then guess what? And then he left. He was gone. But guess what he left behind? He left behind love.
Wow.
Love so tangible that I could wear it, I could feel it, I could taste it, I could see it. And that's the day that love showed up for me.
Wow.
Physical, I could feel it. It was real love.
It's like a tangible present.
Tangible, like a coat almost. I could roll up in it.
Wow.
And that's the day my life changed. And that's the day love showed up.
Yes.
And I write about it in my new book. My new book coming out is called When Love Shows Up, because it's so pivotal when love shows up, when God shows up.
Yes.
With his love and his caring and his guidance and his direction and his speaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I marvel at this Christian life. It really is a real life. It's a real thing. Right. It's so different.
Yes.
The fear that I used to have, I no longer have fear. And when it pops up, I can see it now. So when the pandemic hit and I felt a fear, a little bit of fear, I let myself stay there for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is not from God. Okay. All right. No more of this. I'm not going to be fearful at all.
Yeah.
That's so one other little time I realized, because I'm a first generation ministry leader in my family, and I've always been 9 to 5, mm-hmm. and God is asking me to step out now. Wow. I had a fear of success. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, Connie Tresetter, she helped me break through that fear. Mm. And it was gone. So now the fear I have is just, I have a reverent, loving, honest fear of God.
Fear of God. That's a great fear to have. Yes, that's the only fear you could have is the fear of God.
It is.
That's so good. I love that story of just the displacement when you encountered the love of God, because that's truly what the scripture says, right? It's like perfect love casts out all fear, drives out all fear. It's not just knowing it in our head, it's receiving it mm-hmm. in our heart. Because I had a similar experience for me in terms of being brought up in a very fear-based environment. And it was the love of God that set me free completely.
Yeah, it's really something to experience. It's really something to behold. Mm-hmm. It is something available, and it's so available to each of us. One little sentence, and God's love shows up. And you know what amazes me about God? Because at every single moment that someone comes to Christ, he's right there. I just still marvel at that. He's right there.
That's why he's God, and we're not. Yeah. He can be everywhere. We can. So
right. You don't have to get on his calendar, you know.
Exactly. But whenever we want to be on his calendar, he's ready for us.
Yeah, he is. And he waited 52 years for me. And I've often thought, wow, he knew me and waited. That's one of the poems in my new book. He knew me and waited.
Wow.
He saw me. He knew what I was up to. And he waited patiently.
Wow.
And he was right there when I had that day. It's like, I don't, it's just hard to fathom how he works so beautifully and specifically in each of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, Linda, about, because I know that it was not until, so 2000, you came to know the Lord, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until much later that God began to do a deeper work in your life in the whole area of the post-abortion trauma and all of mm-hmm. those things. And can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What
was going on in your life when you kind of got arrested by God in that space?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple things. About 4 years ago, I was seemingly happy. My life was full. but yet I wasn't fulfilled. And I was busy, but I was empty. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, is this it? I mean, I'm taking care of my mom, my aging mom, and my husband, and my daughter and her two children. And I'm thinking, well, this is good. This is all good. Going to church, going to, you know, Bible study. I've never been without Bible study. I was thinking, is this it for me, God? Is this it? It's okay, but is this it? And he said, oh, no, my child, I have more for you. Mm. And I had always been curious about a book called To Be Told. Dan Allender wrote a book called To Be Told, and he was telling his story. And I think God used that book to plant a seed that someday I would be writing my story. Mm. He sat me down about 4 years ago and started speaking, and I started taking notes. And he didn't stop. And this went on for 4 or 5 days, all day, all night. He's speaking and I'm writing, and he's speaking and I'm writing. And when he gets done speaking and I stop writing, I look down, I have a book. I have written a book. Mm-hmm. And this is the book that you mentioned in the beginning.
Yeah.
And during the time of all that writing, when I got to the end, I came out into the living room where my husband was, and I sat down and I said, oh, I feel great. And this is what my husband said. He said, you have forgiven yourself.
Mm. Wow.
I didn't know that I was holding the abortions against myself. I didn't realize, even though God had forgiven me completely, I was still holding it against myself, and I didn't know it. Again, that's how the enemy works. You know, yeah. He just wants us to stay quiet. As soon as I finished writing that book and I was healed through writing my story. Hmm. And I just love that. Joanna Gaines said in her new book, The Stories We Tell, she says, I didn't expect writing my story to heal me, but it did.
So good.
And I think it's a secret. It's kind of a secret that we have so much in our stories, and God knows our story, and we start writing it, and we write it with his help, and he starts revealing things to us, and it's all out on paper. And what that does is when we write, we take things out of our head and we put them down on paper. There's a space between the paper and our head for clarity. Everything becomes clear.
It's true.
It's an opening. And it's also, and I love this, it's also a cleansing.
Yes. So
and
good.
When we can empty ourselves of ourselves, we can get down to God.
It's so true. Yeah.
And more importantly, God can get down to us.
Yeah.
And at that point, then we start to see the big picture. And when I realized I had forgiven myself, I found myself completely healed. I was completely healed. I can now talk about my abortions. I can now create a ministry for helping other women. That's what happens to you when you become healed. You automatically want to help others. I want everybody to be this healed.
It's so true.
It's so exciting. It's so exciting. And then life begins. And then God takes over. Yeah. And we work with God. And we just do whatever he says. So I honestly, Lisa, don't recognize myself. I don't recognize myself.
Isn't that the power of the love of God? It just transforms us into not someone that we're not, but someone that we're meant to be, who we truly are, right? Who God
made us.
You know, you said something there that I wanted to piggyback on, and you talked about how when you forgave yourself, you were free, but then you began to tell your story, and then it just became like this compulsion or compelling, I need to share this so others can receive the same kind of healing. And I find this to be very true. Then, you know, one of the things that I always say is that when you unlock your story, you actually unlock your message. And when you unlock your message, you unlock your mission. It's like when we own the story. And a lot of women, I find, you know, when I'm working with women with their signature talk or anything, there's sometimes a resistance to going to certain parts of their life because it's painful, or because they haven't forgiven themselves, or they haven't allowed God to show them according to his perspective or to bring the cleansing. You know, so all of those things hold women back from embracing their life in their past that maybe God wants to use for them to be a source or a conduit to be able to bring others into healing. And so there is a process of overcoming in order to do that. But sometimes we minimize or we lock up, maybe be better. Yes. We lock it up. Say, oh, that could, yeah, that's just done.
Yeah. Past. Exactly. I like to say the worst part of your life will take you to the best part of your story.
That's beautiful. I love that.
You know,
the worst part of your life will take you to the best,
part of your story, because that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
That's so, and of course, that's God's story. That's the whole story. Your story will lead others to the greatest story ever told, right?
Yeah. And I remember Ann Beeler, I think that's how you pronounce her last, said this one time. She said, and she's the owner of the pretzel and Annie B's pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She said, when you tell your story, God gets the glory.
Yes. Yes. It, hands down. And he loves it when we tell our story because it's all about him.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets all excited. So he rewarded me so beautifully. I mean, so many things happened when I wrote my story. But the big one was right in the middle of it, I heard these words, your mother will accept Christ this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. And I just happened. Well, first of all, I got up and I ran out to where my husband was. I said, honey, God just handed me the end of my story. In my mind, that was the end of my story, right?
Yeah.
That was the glory. That was the glory right there. And I just happened to be going home that weekend to spend the weekend with mom just for a quick overnight.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen the way I thought it would happen, but God allowed me to lead my mom to Christ.
Nice. Oh, what a gift.
She was 93.
Wow. What a gift.
And that's when I started to learn about treasures that we store in heaven. I never really understood that until that happened. Like, oh, this is one of those treasures.
Yeah.
That we store in heaven. You know, that never can rust or be stolen or,
yeah,
you know.
Linda, I want to go back to this whole area of the impact of abortion. And I know this is something, I know it's a controversial topic, even in Christian circles. Mm-hmm. But I know I have talked to women who have had abortions and feel very held back when we know. And you've experienced that it doesn't matter what we do in the past. It doesn't matter the mistakes we've made, the choices we've made, that you know, regret, or the things that have even been done to us by other people. As we come before the Lord, He brings healing. He brings cleansing so that it would just be as if that never happened, you know, in terms of
exactly
in that regard. But what are some of the things that, I guess, what do you want to say to women who are struggling with being able to even go there? Because you said, I didn't want to go there. You didn't want to go to those. You didn't want to look at it.
Mm-mm.
What was that costing you?
Yeah, it cost me years of my life where I could have been working for the Lord earlier. And I was thinking, gosh, why didn't I come to the Lord a lot faster? Why did I have to go through all this? And a friend said, well, you wouldn't have the story that you have now if you would have kept writing at the age of 8 or 9 or 10. You wouldn't have the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to understand that everything's in God's timing. And I'm accepting that fact now. I'm no longer bemoaning the fact, oh, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. This is such a great way to live.
No.
I wouldn't have this story. I wouldn't be who I am today.
But you said earlier, you're a completely different person than you were. I mean, obviously, that's the Lord. But what where did you feel held back still? Maybe that's a better way to put it. Because you hadn't forgiven yourself, or you hadn't received, even though you felt maybe the Lord forgave you, you hadn't forgiven yourself. Maybe we should talk
about that. Yeah. Oh gosh, Lisa, it's like being in prison. If you can imagine just being in prison, not allowing myself to have fun, not allowing myself to have a dream or a goal. I didn't have any goals. I was just going along with life. I was doing fine, but I had no purpose. I had no vision. I had no mission. I was empty. I was invisible. I was looking at life from the outside. I was always observing. Mm-hmm. I was always searching. I knew there was something missing. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Even as a Christian now going along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew there was more. I always knew there was more. And this right here, right now today, this is it right here. This is what was missing. I didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
I didn't want anybody to see me or talk to me or look at me. I couldn't look anybody in the eye. I didn't have an opinion about anything. I just went along with everybody. You know, hey, people pleasing, that was one.
People pleasing.
You know, hey, whatever you want, let me help you. Oh, I'll agree with that, whether I agreed with it or not. I didn't have a stance. I didn't have solid footing.
Yeah.
It was like a ship without a rudder. And I know that's a cliche, but being tossed by the wind, somebody said I was like a termite in a yo-yo.
Wow. That's quite an imagery. Yeah, that's quite an imagery. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important for women to understand, and whether it be, you know, having an abortion or some other thing in your life that has happened, again, it could have happened to you or it could have happened because of your choice, whatever it is that God wants to meet us in those places to bring healing and to give us the ability to even forgive yourself, because God doesn't hold it against us when we ask and forgive. So by not forgiving ourselves, we're actually, like the scripture says, we're not loving ourselves. We're not loving God. Mm-hmm. Right? The scripture says we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And so when we hold on to unforgiveness, we're actually not loving ourselves. And I believe it blocks us from loving others fully too because of that.
Exactly. I like to say it's being fake or fraudulent or phony and trying so hard in life, but never really making sense of life.
Wow. So there's just like this zone that's kind of a wandering. That's a really powerful picture. Yeah. So just as we close up here today, I'd love it if you would, I know you have a favorite scripture, but what would you like to leave with the ladies who are listening today in the whole area of maybe the love, you know, the love that showed up in your life and how you want to encourage them to receive that?
Yeah. If you're seeking love and searching for something and knowing that there's more, you are absolutely right. Keep seeking, keep looking, keep searching, never give up, because God is watching you and he's going to reward you all along the way, and he's waiting for you, and he has an amazing life for you. And he will change your life exponentially.
He does.
And he will give you a platform, and your story will be helping others in some way, whatever way that is. He has that all worked out. He has it all planned out.
Yeah.
And there's somebody out there waiting for your story. There's somebody out there waiting for you to help them. And God has those people all lined up for you too. And it's his perfect timing.
Yeah.
So the quicker you can come to Jesus and fall head over heels in love with Jesus, the quicker you will be on your path to everything that God has for you. Everything.
Yes.
And it's glorious. It's hard to put my finger on it. I'll give an example. My favorite verse is Ezekiel 36:26. Now God here is talking to the Israelites, but he's also talking to me. And he says, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Mm.
That's exactly what happened to me. My heart was stone cold hard. And when he showed up, my heart, I say in my third book, I say, God reached into my heart, did major surgery, and left.
He did a heart transplant.
That's right. He did a heart transplant. So when he changed my heart from stone to flesh, I could actually feel it pumping and jumping around and excited. And it was alive. My heart was alive. Wow. My heart was soft and ready and open. Mm. And I can share my heart with you now. I share from my heart.
Mm.
So my heart is okay. I like to say the condition of our heart determines the condition of our life.
Yeah.
And I took my hard heart out into the world, made a big mess. And now I'm taking my soft heart out into the world and cleaning up that mess.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I love that. You know, just as we wrap up here today, I just want to encourage you, if you're listening, that, the condition of my heart is the condition of our life. Fanny just posted that as a reminder. It is. Linda has a book that actually you can get today for free. She's made it available for us today on Amazon. I'm going to put up the link here. And it will bless you. So I'll put the link down below as well. But if you go to Amazon and look up Linda Moore, and her book is called Write Your Story. Let me just pull it up here so you can see it, what you're looking for. And really grab that today. Just going to pull. Oh, my computer decided to do something in the midst of it. Here's the book. Let me just pull it up. And it's right there. Write your story and launch your legacy. Powerfully share your influence of faith for generations to come. So she's graciously allowed us to have access to that today for free. So please go and pick up that. And as well, make a decision today. If you know that there's an area of your heart that you've closed off from the Lord, from others, just make a prayer today. Say, Lord, I welcome you. I welcome your love into those areas of my heart. I receive your love. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you forgive me, and I choose to forgive myself and release this to you. I open the doors of my heart that you would come in and be take residence in every part with your love. And I pray that for you today, that you would experience the love of God like you've never experienced before. And he wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you wider. He wants to unlock things in your life that are going to cause an explosion of joy, of love, of fulfillment and peace, so that you can fulfill the call that he has on your life. You can walk as a fearless woman of faith, confident in who you are and whose you are. So I want to encourage you today, if you know there's an area you're holding back from the Lord or you're closing off, then just make a decision today to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we celebrate with you. Mm-hmm. We celebrate with you today with the greatest gift you can give yourself today,
mm-hmm.
to allow his love to come in and heal you and give you that heart as a flesh, or to deliver you from fear, to drive out the fears that maybe are tormenting you. So we thank you. I am going to close out here today. Any final words from you, Linda?
I had something fun this morning that I thought it would be fun to pass on. I was on the call with my accountability partner, and this is what she said about fear. Fear is emotional clutter. I thought that was great. Oh,
good. That's so good.
As we're cleaning out, right, and getting everything in order for the new year, fear is the emotional clutter.
And, so let's clean.
let's clean it out.
Yeah, it just weighs on your thoughts, everything. Yeah, let's get rid of that thing. Say nope.
That's right. No more of that.
Thank you so much, excellent. Linda. What a blessing.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Lisa.
You are welcome.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome. I appreciate you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And enjoy today as a love day with the love of God. Just say, God, thank you. You love me. I receive that love and allow that love to flow out of you to everyone you meet, particularly yourself. If you have a hard time with that, today is going to be a different day. I know it. I can hear it. All right. Bless you guys.